demigods,
Pitrin,
forefathers,
Utapatin,
great leaders of human society,
Nana,
various,
Kamaha,
having desires,
Yatha,
like,
Bhavan,
you.
Translation
and purport by His Divine Grace, Abhoy Charanaravinda
Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila
Prabhupada Ki Jai. The great sage Narad continued, my dear King Prachinabharishad, like you, King Paranjana, also became implicated in so many desires. And thus you worship demigods, forefathers, and social leaders with various sacrifices, which were all very ghastly, because they were inspired by the desire to kill animals. Please repeat. The great sage Narad continued. My dear King Prachinabharishad, like you, King Paranjana, also became implicated in so many desires. Thus he worshipped demigods, forefathers, and social leaders with various sacrifices, which were all very ghastly because they were inspired by the desire to kill animals. In this verse, the great sage Narada discloses that the character of Paranjana was being described to give lessons to King Prachinabharishad. Actually, the entire description was figuratively describing the activities of King Prachinabharishad. In this verse, Narada frankly says, like you, Jathabhavan, which indicates that King Paranjana is none other than King Prachinabharishad himself. Being a great Vaishnava, Narada Muni wanted to stop the animal killing and sacrifices. He knew that if he tried to stop the king from performing sacrifice, the king would not hear him, and therefore he is describing the life of Paranjana. But in this verse, he first discloses his intention, although not fully, by saying, like you. Generally, the karmis are attached to increasing descendants. Have to perform so many sacrifices and worship so many demigods for future generations, as well as to satisfy so many leaders, politicians, philosophers, and scientists to make things go on properly for future generations. The so-called scientists are very eager to see that future generations will live very comfortably, and as such they are trying to find different means of generating energy to drive locomotives, cars, aeroplanes, and so on. Now they're exhausting the petroleum supply. These activities are described in the Bhagavad Gita 2.41. Vyasatmika Bhuti Rekiha Kurunandana Bahu Shaka Inantascha Buddhayo Vyavasayanam. Those who are on the spiritual path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one, O beloved child of the Kurus. The intelligence of those who are irresolute is many branched. Actually, those who are in knowledge of everything are determined to execute Krishna consciousness. But those who are rascals, Mutha, sinners, Duskritina, and the lowest of mankind, Narodama, who are bereft of all intelligence, Maya Parita Jana, and who take shelter of the demoniac way of life, Vashuram Bhavam Ashrita, are disinterested in Krishna consciousness. As such, they become implicated and take on so many activities. Most of these activities center around killing of animals. Modern civilization is centered around animal killing. Karmis are advertising that without meat, their vitamin value or vitality will be reduced. So to keep oneself fit to work hard, one must eat meat, and to digest meat, one must drink liquor. And to keep the balance of drinking wine and eating meat, one must have sufficient sexual intercourse to keep fit to work and hard, to work hard, very hard like an ass. There are two ways of animal killing. One way is in the name of religious sacrifice. All religions of the world, except the Buddhists, have a program for killing animals and in places of worship. According to the Vedic civilization, the animal eaters are recommended to sacrifice a goat in the temple of Kali under certain restrictive rules and regulations and eat the flesh. Similarly, they are recommended to drink wine by worshipping the goddess Chandika. The purpose is restriction. And people have given up all this restriction. Now they are regularly opening wine distilleries and slaughterhouses and indulging in drinking alcohol and eating flesh. A Vaishnavacharya like Narad Muni knows very well that persons engaged in such animal killing in the name of religion are certainly becoming involved in the cycle of birth and death, forgetting the real aim of life, to go back home, back to Godhead. Thus the great sage Narad, while instructing Srimad Bhagavatam Vyas Muni, condemned the Karmakanda fruitive activities mentioned in the Vedas. Narad told Vyas, Jugupsitam dharma priti anushashata Svabhavarakshata mahan vyatikrama yad vakyato dharma itarashtito na manyati tasha nivaranam janaha. People in general are naturally inclined to enjoy, and you have encouraged them in this way in the name of religion. This is very verily condemned, and it's quite unreasonable. Because they are guided under your instruction, they will accept such activities in the name of religion and will hardly care for the prohibitions. Bhagavatam 1.5.15. Sri Narad Muni chastised Vyasadeva for compiling so many Vedic supplementary literatures, which are all intended for guiding people in general. Narad Muni condemned these scriptures because they do not mention direct devotional service. Under Narada's instructions, direct worship of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as described in the Srimad Bhagavatam, was set forth by Vyasadeva. The conclusion is that neither the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, nor his devotee ever sanctions animal killing in the name of religion. Indeed, Krishna incarnated himself as Lord Buddha to put an end to animal killing in the name of religion. Animal sacrifice under the name of religion is condemned. Animal sacrifice under the name of religion is conducted by the influence of tamogun, the mode of ignorance. As indicated in the 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, 31-32, Yaya dharmam madharmam cha kariyam chakram eva cha atravat prakat Nati, Buddho, Sapata, Rajasi, Adamam, Dama, Nitiya, Manyati, Tamasavrita, Savartan, Vipa, Vritam, Sha, Buddhi, Sapata, Tamasai. That understanding which cannot distinguish between religious way of life and irreligious, between actions that should be done and action that should not be done, that imperfect understanding, O son of Prita, is in the mode of passion. And that understanding which considers irreligion to be religion and religion to be irreligion is under the spell of illusion and darkness and strives always in the wrong direction, O Partha. It's in the mode of ignorance. Those who are involved in the modes of ignorance manufacture religious systems for killing animals. Actually, Dharma is transcendental. As Lord Sri Krishna teaches, we must give up all other systems of religion and simply surrender unto Him. Sarvadhanam parityajya. Thus, the Lord and His devotees and representatives teach the transcendental Dharma, which does not allow animal killing at all. At the present moment, it is the greatest misfortune that in India, So many so-called missionary workers are spreading irreligion in the name of religion. They claim an ordinary human being to be God and recommend meat eating for everyone, including the so-called sannyasis. Prabhupada ki jai. So, Long Purple Prabhupada is dedicated mostly to stop about animal killing and how sinful this is. In fact, not only animal killing, but all of these are regular principles. And how modern society is actually encouraging all these, sinful activities in the name of religion. Advertising that you must eat meat because without eating meat, their vitamin value or vitality will be reduced. So therefore eat meat, be compassionate. This is I think Vivekananda said, you should eat more meat, then you become more passionate, then you can build India. Otherwise India is backwards, so we'll eat a lot of meat, everyone become passionate. Just like the Western people, you see. That's why they're advancing, because they're eating meat. So he was encouraging eating meat. I think Prabhupada's having a little dig at the end of the purport, including so-called sannyasis. Meat eating for everyone. I think this is directly also to Vivekananda. I have one story. When he went to America one time, Chicago, and I think they served him meat. So he ate the meat and then he vomited up. And he said, anyway, everything is all one. So again, he ate the Odia Vomita. It's all one. To support his philosophy. Anyway, Prabhupada's saying then, you've got all the energy, you're eating all this, you've got to have something to digest it, so you drink liquor. And that will digest all the meat. And then you have to have. Then after that you have to have plenty of sex life because you've got so much energy. So in this way everything is going on in the modes of passion and ignorance. And Prabhupada's pointing out is from how Vyasadeva was feeling a bit despondent. He said, I've written all the Vedas, I've written the Puranas, I've written all the different shastras, but I'm feeling dissatisfied still. So Narad Muni came, he was his guru. So he explained to him, I'm feeling dissatisfied. I've written everything. I've condensed the whole of the Vedas into the Vedanta Sutra. So I've written the essence. Vedanta Sutra is the end of knowledge, the essence. I've compiled the Vedanta Sutra, but still I'm not satisfied, even though everything is the essence of knowledge. And so Narad Muni, he began to chastise him, actually. And he said, already people are naturally inclined to sense gratification in this material world. Just by nature that people are inclined to sense gratification. And what you're doing, you've encouraged them to have sense gratification. In the name of the Vedas, you want to eat meat here, you worship Kali on the dark moon and you kill the goat. You want to drink wine, you worship Chandi or the moon god. So You're recommending. This is how you can eat meat and drink wine in the name of the Vedas. But Vedavyasa, this is a restriction. You've turned it into a religion. He said, the people in general are naturally inclined to enjoy, and you've encouraged it in this way, in the name of religion. This is verily condemned and quite unreasonable, as the guru is chastising the disciple here. Because they are guided under your instruction, they will such activities in the name of religion, but will hardly care for the prohibitions. So these injunctions, where you can eat meat, you can drink wine, etc., are meant for to restrict meat eating and drinking wine. That's the purpose of it, it's a restriction. But because there are some classes of people, low class, tamagun, rajagun, they want to eat meat, they want to drink intoxication, there is a, that is their nature, so they are given an opportunity. So the Vedas has to cater for everyone in all different situations of life, in all different modes of material nature. So the Vedas is catering for them. So it says, okay, then you can eat meat once a week. And you can drink the wine only after made this sacrifice. So it's a restriction. It's actually to restrict people so they don't kill unnecessary and take intoxication unnecessary. It's actually a restriction. But if people are now there, because they naturally have a tendency to sense gratification, they're saying, oh, this is great. Look what our Veda says. We can eat meat, we can take intoxication. And they're hardly going to care for the prohibition, for the restriction. They're not going to see it as a restriction. They're going to see it as their religion, because it's in the Vedas. This was a mistake that Narada Muni is pointing out to me yesterday. And you're encouraging them now. In the name of restriction, what is supposed to be restriction, they've turned it into a religion. No, our Veda says that we can do it, we can do it. Why no meat eating? Look, our Veda says that Buddha come, don't eat meat. What are you talking about? Our Veda says we can eat meat, but here it is, Shastra. The Buddha said, forget Veda, then follow me, out of his compassion. Awesome. Anyone who doesn't follow the Veda is considered atheist. But Buddha had a special purpose, so he was acting like an atheist. Okay, just follow me. Follow the path of ahimsa, non-violence. So he tricked them away from Veda, because they were misusing the Vedic injunctions just for sense gratification. But this was part of a greater program. He took them away from the Veda. But still he tricked them. He said, follow me, follow my path. So they were following Buddha, who is Krishna, he's an incarnation. So they were actually following. And anyway, they give up meat eating. But they had forgotten Veda. So then Shankaracharya, Lord Shiva, was asked by Lord Krishna, mentioned in the Bhagavad Purana, you go down and you bring people back to Vedas. They've forgotten the Veda. Buddha has given the philosophy of Ahimsa, so that now they're peaceful, but they've forgotten the Veda. So go back and you preach a philosophy that's like covered Buddhism. It's almost like Buddhism. But the difference is that Buddha says there's nothing, is zero. When your eye sees something, it reflects the image on the back of your eye. But it's actually upside down. What you see is upside down on the back of your eye. You know? Like, the object is there and the eye is there. So it comes into the eye and then it reflects on the back of the eye. But the picture's upside down, but just automatically we put the picture up the right way. Anyway, their philosophy is, at that point where the picture is comes into the lens of the eye before it reflects on the back in between. Which way is the picture? Is it up the right way or is it upside down? In the center of the point where the lens of the eye goes like that and comes out again on the back, that central point, where is the picture? The picture is upside down or it's right way up? So it's not kind of a crazy philosophy. Nothing. What is the sound of one hand clapping? Prabhupada said, I slap your face. sound. Anyway, that's the philosophy of Buddhism. Nothing, zero. But Shankaracharya said, no, there is something. But you cannot see it, you cannot touch it, you cannot eat it. It's Brahman. It is a substance. There is some substance, but it's beyond the material nature. Mayavada philosophy. Of course, he only taught up to Brahman. He didn't deny, because he was a great devotee, he was acting and following the instructions of Krishna. He came here to Navadvip when he was conquering all the Buddhists. Mahaprabhu appeared to him, said, what are you doing here? It's a place for my bhaktas, there's no place for your philosophy here. But anyway, you're doing a great job. You're acting as a great servant of Krishna. You're very successfully uprooting the Buddhist philosophy with your Mayavada philosophy. But actually, there's no place for this philosophy in Mayapur Dham. This is governed by my devotees in the form of, for deceiving people in the form of Brodamaya and Lord Shiva. Shankaracharya is an incarnation of Lord Shiva. They stay here, Brodamaya and Lord Shiva stay here. They bewilder all the they bewilder the people with these different philosophies. They're doing it. So those who are in this way, they keep all the envious people outside of the Dharma and the non-believers or outside. They don't interfere with the devotional service or the bhakti in Navadvip Dham. So those persons who are interested in tantrics and things like that, they want cities and they want liberation. And Lord Shiva writes all these tantras dealing with liberation, dealing with different cities and things like that. So all those people who are not devotional, even though they're in Mayapur, then Lord Shiva and Parvati, Prodamaya, they influence them by all these different tantrics. Shiva writes many tantric shastras. And they become bewildered by all the cities and all the perfections. You know, those Vaishnavas are Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol. But we get in all the cities, we get in all the magic. So they leave the Vaishnavas alone here. In this way, Lord Shiva and Parvati, they deceive all the non-believers and non-devotees who are in the Dham. So Gauranga said to Lord Shiva, there's no place for your philosophy here. Shiva will delude those people who are attracted. Anyway, you better go another place. You leave this place. Anyway, you're doing good service because you're uprooting the nihilistic philosophy of Buddhism in the Jaya Dharma. The question is raised, what about the Shankaracharya and his philosophy? The guru says, Shripad Shankaracharya, we tie our ashtanga dandavat pranam at his lotus feet. They said, what? That big Mayavadi, Shankaracharya, you're playing ashtanga dandavat. He said, yes. He said, because Lord Buddha was an incarnation. He's in Shakyavatara of Krishna. So only he could do that. He could delude the people, get them away from the Vedas. He was very powerful. And he presented his philosophy of nirvana. Who else could do that? Who else can change that philosophy now? It's very widespread. Only another really empowered person can do it. So Lord Krishna asked Lord Shiva to come and do it, as Shankaracharya. So he said, no one else could have done that. So it hadn't been for Shankaracharya, it would have been Buddhism. We would have been very prominent. That means atheism would have been very rampant and prominent. But at least now the people on back on the Vedas, even though Shankaracharya is preaching impersonalism, but by his mercy, he defeated and drove out an atheistic philosophy. Now Shankaracharya has brought them back to the Vedas, their Vedic followers again. So therefore, he says, we're offering our prostrated pranam. Otherwise, we'd be in a worse situation in an atheistic environment, a Buddhist environment. So, of course, then the great Vaishnavacharyas came and presented different philosophies, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally came and presented the Achinta Veda Veda. Simultaneously one but different philosophy, which is the most perfect philosophy in it. So this was the overall plan of the Lord, how when the world gets out of order, disorder, then he comes and he sets it in order. So this was a progression from how he introduced, Krishna introduced Buddhism to stop animal eating, then Shankaracharya, the Mayavada philosophy to push out the nihilistic philosophy, and then the pure devotional philosophies will come and be established. Again, the true meaning of the Vedas, which is bhakti. So Narabhuni is chastising Veda Vyas. And Prabhupada often gives the example, this example of the Vibaha, the marriage ceremony. It's a big function. It goes on for many days sometimes, depending on how rich you are and how much you want to advertise it and how many relatives you've got. But anyway, it's a big, big function. It costs a lot of money. So many elaborate details are there. And the Prabhupada said, what's the purpose of it? For sex. So it's a good thing, because otherwise you have sex in the street like cats and dogs. That's a bad thing. So we have a marriage institution. So it's a good thing. So you get married according to all the rules and regulations. But the purpose actually is sex, to restrict sex. It's a restriction. It's not a religion as such, but they're taking it now. Oh, the Vivaha is the biggest thing in one's life. When the daughter or son gets married, all the family members come. It's oh, big, big, big thing. It's a religion. They turned it into a big, big, but what is the purpose behind that? Sex? Restricting. So it's a restriction, but they're taking it as, no, this is our way of life. So similarly, meat eating and things, toxic, no, it's our religion. Look, it says it's our, so they blow the whole thing up into a religion. But it's a restriction. That's the purpose of these injunctions. There is just to restrict. You don't have sex unlimitedly. You don't drink intoxication unlimitedly. You don't eat animals unrestricted. It's a restriction. But because people are attracted by Sanskrit education, they very much like those restrictions, and they blow those up and they forget all the prohibitions and the real religions. And they say they become degraded. So this is the reason why Narada Muni is chastising Vyasadeva in this extent. Prabhupada also gives the example in Calcutta, the famous temple there of Kali, Kaligat, and they killed many, many goats there. Very famous. And in fact, Calcutta derives from Kalikat. Kalikat. Named as the place of Kali. And so then there is a restriction. You want to eat meat, okay, you have the goat and you whisper in the ear, you know, I'm killing you in this lifetime, in your next life you can take your birth and kill me. Because the priest has to say that. That's just kind of a make the priest a little bit hesitant about what he's doing. Well, really, I'm hearing it again and again, really, I'm going to come back and kill me next life. So it's it's not encouraging the priest to do it because he's putting his neck out as well, literally. But anyway, they're saying, no, it's our religion. Look here, it says, so he says, now what's happening? This is a Vedavyasa Narad Muni predicted. They'll simply use it as for Sanskrit and forget the real meaning and prohibition. It's not actually a restriction. Because it says they'll forget all that. And Prabhupada said exactly that happens. He says, now, Kali in Calcutta, you have a butcher shop where they cut the goats. They put a picture of Kali up on the wall. Big picture of Kali. And they're killing the goat, Kali Prasad. 7 days a week, Prabhupada said. You can't go any day, 7 days a week, Kali Prasad, a picture of Kali. So this is what it's reduced to. So this is why they chastise what was there for Veda Vyas. Of course, he's a special incarnation of the Lord, literal incarnation. He's Krishna incarnated as Veda Vyas. Leela. When you get up on that level, it's Leela. But anyway, as a result of all that and the chastisement, what do we get from it? Srimad Bhagavatam. Then he wrote Srimad Bhagavatam. He compiled Srimad Bhagavatam after that. You forgot to glorify Krishna enough. You've overemphasized the ritualistic side and you forgot to emphasize worship of Krishna. So, okay, that's it. So then Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna, 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 all the way through. Bhakti, 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 relationship with Krishna. And Veda Vyas, when he comes back in Gaur Leela as Vrindavan Das Thakur. You read Chaitanya Bhagavat. Chaitanya Bhagavat. He doesn't make any mistake. Veda Vyas doesn't make a mistake. I made a big mistake last time when I appeared in Krishna Leela. I made a big mistake. This time I'm not going to make any mistake. You read Chaitanya Bhagavat, your first page. The Lord's dancing in ecstasy. They're rolling on the floor. Their tears. All the devotees are rolling over in ecstasy. Next page. All the devotees are chanting Hare Krishna. They're rolling over in ecstasy. Next page. All the devotees. That's all it is. All the way through, they're just rolling over, eating prasadam, rolling over, dancing, chanting, falling in ecstasy. And that's all it is all the way through it. He says, I'm not making that same mistake again here. This is what we need. Just chanting Hare Krishna and taking prasadam and dance. That's all we have to do. So that's whole Chaitanya Bhagavat is like that practically. So that was Vyasadeva in the form of Vrindavan Das Thakur. You know? Didn't make that same mistake again. Sorry for the short notice. Any comment or question?
Hare Krishna, thanks for your nice class, Prabhu. I remember years ago hearing in a lecture by His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he said that no one has rejected Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy more in the whole of India than the people of Bengal. But he said by Lord Chaitanya's arrangement, they're forced to get Lord Chaitanya's mercy because when the big floods come, many of these people are like stranded, they lose their homes and everything, and the devotees go out with big boats full of tons of prasadam, and these people just come begging for Lord Chaitanya's mercy in the form of prasadam. So I was just wondering, how is it that the people of Bengal rejected Lord Chaitanya's mercy more than rest of the people in India.
Well, I wouldn't say exactly like that. They rejected Lord Chaitanya more than anywhere else in India because like today, although Gauranga is becoming much more popular now due to Prabhupada's influence, but not many people knew Lord Chaitanya was the Supreme Person of Godhead. They thought he was a great Bengali saint. He was often dressed as a great saint, mystic, a social reformer, but not as the Supreme Person of Godhead. Whereas the Bengalis and the Gaudias and the Odias, Orissa, and they understood that he was the Supreme Person of Godhead. In Vrindavan also, where the devotees congregate. But the rest of India didn't really know so much divinity, that he was Krishna himself. Why they don't accept? The Bengal Bhaktivinoda Thakur says in the Navadvipa Mahatmya that he says, here Mahaprabhu has come, Nityananda Prabhu has come, they are giving freely Raja Prema, not given before. Very rare, very rare. And they're going knocking on the door, and people are coming out, and they're forward, like, grabbing their feet. Please, you chant Hare Krishna. Make Krishna your life and soul. Krishna is your mother, Krishna is your father, Krishna is your... Just worship Krishna, chant. So who can be more merciful than that when the Supreme Person of Godhead comes to your door begging you, knocks on your door and begs you to chant Hare Krishna? Of course, these are special devotees to take birth during the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But anyway, he was showing us how merciful that is. The only requirement was that you accept. And of course, you give up your sinful activities. So, to approach Krishna, one has to become very purified in the 8th chapter. Bhagavad Gita, or 7:28, right? Only those who are purified in previous activities, their previous lives and this life, 7:28? Okay. Yeah, only they who are done with material life, are out of illusion, only they can approach me, who are purified from previous things. Only they can approach me and perform devotional service. So to approach Krishna is very difficult. You have to be pure to approach him. To understand the Supreme Pure, you have to become pure. To enter the fire, you have to become fire. To understand Brahman, you have to become Brahman. That's a prerequisite. You can't approach Krishna unless you're pure. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is not consideration. He's not consideration. Purified or unpurified, qualified or unqualified. He's offering. All you've got to do is take. But the consideration is you stop your sinful activities. You'll become qualified when you take it. That'll make you qualified. But you have to give up your sinful activities. Jagai Madhai, the extreme example. There was no sin they did not commit. But they approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even though it was so simple, they could approach on in time. And then they were delivered, they fell down and they became devotees, great devotees. Thing is, they gave up their simple life. And Mahaprabhu accepted them. So, there never was such mercy. So Chaitanya Bhaktivinoda Thakura says, why is it that some people accepted and some people didn't accept? Was being given freely. They were saying, now they were preaching, you're following the path of karma, you're following the path of yoga, you're following the path of jnana, you're following some path. And what is the purpose of your following this path? Happiness. You want some happiness, that is the purpose. You're all following different paths, but the purpose is one, the happiness. Mahaprabhu's giving you a happiness that's unequal. That can never be equal. It's never been, it's all of your happiness is put together, one even like one speck of dust of the happiness that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is doing. So if your goal of life is happiness, you're saying, why not take this? This happiness is free. Give, take, chanting, chant. Some people didn't take it. And why? This was the question. Why they didn't take it? And the answer was given, because they were proud of their own intelligence and ability. They couldn't give up. No, I'll do it my way. I'll do it my way through karma. I'll do it my way through jnana. I'll do it my way through yoga. Proud of my ability. I'll do it my way. And Mahaprabhu, you take it freely. I'm not asking you. Right? But they didn't do it. So this was the reason they don't accept. They're proud of their own ability. Still holding on to that aspect of, I'm the controller. I'll do it my way. I'll control it my way. So that is some, that is a symptom of a misfortune. Their misfortune. They had an opportunity that they couldn't. Why? Because they were still holding on to the pride for their own ability, their own intelligence. So if you haven't got it, it means we must be holding something still in our heart if we're not receiving what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was giving and Nityananda was giving. We're holding on to something. Yeah, but then even as many upper sampradayas, but still they're accepting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's vision. More than anywhere else in India.
Hare Krishna. So the holy scriptures like Bhagavad Gita, Bible and Quran, they give the same conclusion.
Yes?
Same conclusion, same message. So how the animal killing is restricted in Bhagavad Gita, and the animal killing is encouraged in the Quran. Because I met one Muslim student, so he told in the Quran is mentioned to kill the cows. But I told him, no, there's no mention in Bhagavad Gita. We should offer the leaf, water of flowers, not any meat or fish, but we have a very big debate. So how this is encouraged in Quran?
What's the question?
So how in Bhagavad Gita, animal killing is forbidden, but whereas in Quran, it is encouraged, even to kill also the cows. So how this is, even have the same message, the same conclusion, how it looks like contradiction.
Yeah, they have, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was preaching to Chankazi, he said, like we have also in the Quran, we have like Karmakanda section also, and the Gyanakanda section. And the Gyanakanda section is rejected. In the Karmakanda section of the Quran, then there is provision. It's prohibited. There are rules on how to do it. So, but it's on a lower stage, like the Karmakanda. It has to be there. The Veda is practical. It has to satisfy all the followers of it. And someone with me, so there has to be some injunction there. You cannot simply say everything, everyone should not eat meat, or everyone should eat meat. You can't do that. You've got to cater for everyone. So the Veda caters for everyone. But simply they have that in injunction. There are restrictions. Right? When Prabhupada was in Iran, or Tehran, and he was in the room, there was a lot of commotion going on outside in the street. And Prabhupada said, what's happening? And the devotee looked out the window, and he said, oh, Srila Prabhupada, they're killing a goat. Prabhupada said, oh, And then the devotee said, they have the system here in Tehran that when they kill an animal, they face towards Mecca. The animal is faced towards Mecca. Then they kill the goat. Prabhupada said, oh, very good, very good. And they said, but Prabhupada, why are you saying very good? He's killing a killing goat. He said, no, not the killing so much, but it's God, the God consciousness is there. There's some God consciousness there. They're pointing the goat towards Mecca, so they're recognizing God. So that's a good thing. God is involved in the activities. So that, although it's of a lower nature, but still it's connected. Like you're going to get Vedic mantras to kill the goat according to the Chandi Shastra, whichever Shastra you're using, let's say use. But at least you're going to use the Vedic, and there's going to be, and before you do the puja, there's going to be a worship of Narayan Shila or something. He's always worshipped before the demigods are worshipped. So still you're connected. Devotee asked Srila Prabhupada, is the followers of Jesus or the followers of Kali? Who is best? Because Jesus is teaching love of God. And Kali is, it's all murdering, killing animals. Prabhupada said the worship of Kali is best. I said, but why? Jesus is teaching love of God here. He said, yeah, it's true, but because there is no parampara now in the Christian world, in the Christian Bible, it's been stopped, it's been cut out, actually. Purposely, they've taken pieces out over the period of history. So he said, there's no parampara, so therefore the effect is hardly any effect. He said, but they're killing goats according to the Vedic, the injunction. He said, but still they're attached to the Veda, it's part of the Veda, they're not deviating from the Veda. And by constantly using Veda to do this sacrifice, they can hear the names of Narayan, they have to worship Narayan first, they can have mantras which are connected to them. And like this, they'll become purified because it's connected to the Veda. And then slowly they'll become purified to a higher mode of nature where they won't have to eat meat or anything. Online question, why are the living entities manifest the desires to eat meat since it is not spiritual? Since there is not a spiritual form of this enjoyment from Maya Mori. The desire is there. What about when the living entity takes birth as a tiger? That's his food. So he has to eat it. You're talking about why the living entities manifest the desire to eat meat. Since it's not a spiritual, there is not a spiritual form of this enjoyment. So when you take the form of an animal, then you go through different species where you will eat meat. It's become the dharma of that particular body. That is natural. And those desires you take from one body to another, to another, to another. So there can be subtle desires there. So it is a fact that the desire is there. Prabhupada said, therefore you have canine teeth, these two pointed teeth. You have two pointed teeth provision, so you can eat like the dogs, they have all sharp teeth. And they like to eat, they can chew. But humans have two canine teeth. In case you want to eat meat, there you go. These sharp teeth, you can get one.
When I have someone ask you about said, because it tastes good.
Tastes good.
It tastes good. He said, everyone's why they eating it. It must taste good. It's that taste. It's not that they're specifically an animal. It's because it's a good the taste they get from it.
Didn't he say if you can reproduce that in your Govinda's restaurant, people will come and reproduce the taste?
Yeah. Some chana and some hing and some...
What about Lord Singer? he put the garlands around his neck and everything, isn't it? He's the original tiger, the meat eater. The original tiger. You know why he put the intestines of Hiranyakashipu around his neck? Because Hiranyakashipu was sitting on top of the world, and he had all the demigods coming in offering obeisances to him. And he stopped all the jagannabhag, all the sacrificial food that went to the demigods had to come to him. So Lord Nrisimha there, when he killed him, to show him that actually all that food that he took that went in these intestines, that was all meant for me. So he put that intestine in there. All that food was meant, now I'll accept it in the form of his intestine. Garuda eats fish, right? He catches fish and snake. Great question.
So if a Hindu kills a cow,
what?
A Hindu kills a cow and a Muslim kills a cow, will they get the same reaction or different?
If
a Hindu, he kills a cow.
He kills a cow.
Yeah, and Muslim, he also kills a cow. They get the same reaction or different?
No, different reaction.
Why?
If the Hindu kills, if the Muslim kills a cow, it's pap, sinful. So he has to pay a reaction. If you hear this on the cow's body, you have to take a birth and be killed. So it's sinful. If a Hindu kills a cow, it's aparad. He knows the laws of God, and he knows how sinful and wrong it is. So if he kills a cow, then it becomes aparad. It's much more suffering than sin. Much more. He disobeyed the laws of God. Knowingly, upright. But the other Muslim, he doesn't. Out of ignorance, they appear. It's just pup. That is upright. Chief Aparad, Chief Minister, he'll get more. He'll get more offenses, reactions. And they say it's all old stuff, it's all old fashioned stuff. They try to dismiss everything, become atheists. And Prabhupada said, these Hindus, when they die, see, they're shaking in their boots. You see, because they have knowledge. And what's going to happen after life? They haven't, but they put it, oh, well, the whole world is saying there's no God, or they're agnostic, or the atheist. It's okay. It's open atheism, easier to get along. He said they're shaking in their boots because they know that Yamaraj is waiting for them. And they try to dismiss everything in the name of atheism, but they can't. He said, when the time of death, oh, they're shaking like anything. They have knowledge. They get worse punishment. If you misuse and... Bhakti Trimaraj was giving one example. Similar. He said that in we were practicing Vedic culture. Then we had all like the couple thousand years. The invaders were coming, the Mughals, the Mohammedans, and later on the Dutch, British, etc. And because of their influence, then the whole of the Hindu society and the philosophy became degraded. And Bhakti Shri Maharaj said, whose fault was it? He said it was the fault of the sadhus, the Indian sadhus. He said, because they are meant to disseminate knowledge. He said, but when they had these yavanas, malechas, etc. coming over, they said, they're untouchable. They're untouchable. We won't deal with these people. They're low class. Gradually they got powerful and they took over. But if they had preached them about Krishna consciousness, then they could have elevated them and still maintained the proper culture. Because it's such a good philosophy. It's far, far superior than any other philosophy or religion that we know. And so even the Christians, instead of rejecting them or saying that they're untouchables, they should have preached them. And any sensible person, they been preached to properly from Srimad Bhagavatam, then they would have accepted. Then there wouldn't have been all this problem, social clashes and things like that. So that's the duty of the Vedas is for mankind, and the duty of the sadhu is to disseminate this knowledge. Not just say, well, they're untouchable, we want. So they failed to do their duty. So it's their fault, it's the fault of the sadhu. Krishna consciousness is trying to fulfill this role of the sadhu, right? Giving Krishna consciousness everywhere. Real meaning of life. Shambha Babu ki. Shambhavatam ki. Shambhavatam ki. Shambhavatam ki. Shambhavatam ki. Shambhavatam ki. Shambhavatam ki. Thank you.